This is Frankly MSP, where managed service providers get real.
Hey, and welcome to episode 28 of Frankly MSP, the podcast for managed service providers who want to boost their productivity, efficiency, and profitability. I'm your host, Jennifer Tribe. Well, this is a very special episode because it was exactly 1 year ago yesterday, on October 3rd, 2017, that we launched our very first ever Frankly MSP podcast. Yes, we are now 1 year old. I feel like we should have some sound effects for that. Like, could we get some trumpets or something? Ah, there we go. Nice. Since then, we've been coming out with a fresh Frankly MSP episode every 2 weeks, and the response from you, our listeners, has been fantastic. Lots of downloads. Honestly, we've blown way past our original one-year goals. Lots of encouraging comments. So a great big hat tip to you for helping make this podcast a success. Starting next week, we're going to be mixing things up a little bit. On a few episodes, we're going to have some longer interviews, which some of you said you'd like to hear. On some episodes, we're going to rotate hosting duties on the What's Going On segment to spots around the world. So subscribe to Frankly MSP to make sure you get immediate access to all those new episodes and content as it's released. Now, in honor of the Frankly MSP one-year anniversary, or podversary, as the cool kids say, we've got some awesome swag to give away. We've got some brand new, sparkly fresh Frankly MSP stickers and t-shirts. To get some, all you need to do is leave Frankly MSP a review on iTunes. So step one, go into iTunes, search Frankly MSP, and leave your comments for us in a review. Step two, and this is important because iTunes doesn't tell us who you are, send an email to franklymsp@ovic.com with your iTunes handle so we can match that up to your review. If you complete both steps, we will mail you a new Frankly MSP t-shirt and a fistful of stickers. Now on to this week's episode. My guest today is Rayanne Buccianico. She's the founder and leader of ABC Solutions, a bookkeeping and accounting firm that specializes in working with MSP clients specifically. Rayanne is also a partner in Sell My MSP, a service that advises MSPs on preparing for a sale and connects MSPs who want to sell with interested buyers. Rayanne and I are talking today about financial basics for MSPs, including some tips, tricks, and rules of thumb for making sure your bookkeeping and accounting are in tip-top shape. That's coming up. But first, you knew it was coming. We turn to Richard Tubb and Carl Palachuk for a look at what's going on in the world through an MSP lens. This episode of What's Going On was recorded live last week at Continuum Navigate in Boston. Richard and Carl are joined by Josh Weiss, CEO of a California-based MSP called LA Creative Technologies.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by Ovic Networks.
Hey folks, Richard Tubb here, and I'm not at home in Newcastle upon Tyne in the UK today. I'm live and in color in Boston, Massachusetts for Navigate 2018 by Continuum. Huge big conference here. I'm joined as always by my friend and MSP expert, Carl Palachuk. How are you doing today, Carl?
Very good. Nice and dry inside.
And we've got a special guest with us today, somebody who should be familiar to listeners to this podcast, Josh Wheat. How are you doing?
I'm very good. What's up, Richard?
Thank you for joining us today. It's
absolutely
very cool.
Yeah, I've been reading you both for a long time. Fun to be here.
So we're here at Continuum Navigate, or so Navigate by Continuum. What has caught your eye to begin with at this conference? Carl, what do you think is the big news stories coming out of today?
Well, I don't know if there's any news stories yet because we're early in the conference, but I did sit in on the security briefing early this morning, and they do have some cool products. SOC is no longer just a thing that people say, oh, you should do it. I mean, it's being deployed, and it literally is now a part of the business you can't ignore.
Mm. What about you, Josh? What's caught your eye?
Pretty much the same thing so far. Continuum is going all in on the security thing, and whether it's them or whether it's SolarWinds, who's trying to do it a little differently, they're trying to offer tools to help medium-sized MSPs become MSSPs and offer that service to smaller MSPs. So the big vendors are doing it in different ways, but everyone knows that they have to do it.
And what's interesting is clients don't get MSSP any more than they get MSP, right? And then you hear the argument, well, security is everybody's business, blah, blah, blah. But what compliance brings you is something you can sell. Because you can go to people who are HIPAA or FINRA or whatever and say, here's your compliance. This is the tool we use to make sure your business is staying legal.
Well, I had a tour this morning, a backstage sneak peek of the SOC up and running. I've got to say, from a geeky perspective, it was awesome. It reminded me, you know, the Matthew Broderick film War Games?
Yes.
The Whopper and the room there, it looked just like that. So, you know, incredible stuff. And they're actually going to do a live demo later, which I'm nervous to watch, a live demo of a breach in action and how they're going to remediate it via the SOC. So that'll be an interesting one. I think it speaks, though, doesn't it, to how Continuum are changing as a company and how the industry as a whole is changing as well. Carl, I know you've got some thoughts on the relationship between the vendors and the tools.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. So the major vendors, Continuum, SolarWinds, everybody, you know, everybody knows who the big players are. They've become like these large gravitational masses pulling other tools into their body of work. And what's happening is they're growing and growing a stack that they all want you to buy into their stack, which is great for consistency when it works and, you know, having the same desk to call when it doesn't. But it also ties people into things. And I think a lot of us have built our business based on our favorite tools. And now my favorite antivirus or my favorite security tool may not be with the primary vendor I want to go with. And so the question is, do you give up your favorite tool, or do you just keep trying to make these things work together when they work less well together every day?
Mm. I can speak to that. There's a new thing that Continuum is releasing that's a sort of managed endpoint, sort of one step up from antivirus. I have a vendor that I use for that currently with one of our largest clients. And I'm sitting here in this room thinking, well, great, now I got to rip that out because my company doesn't have a SOC. But if I get it from Continuum, now it's supported by a SOC. And that there's probably a lot of people in those same shoes, like what Carl's saying.
Yeah, we touched on this earlier in the year, didn't we? Where Datto and Autotask went through their merger acquisition, whichever wording you want to use for that. And Carl, you and I touched upon at the time, this, you know, the word coming out of that merger was, we are committed to open and free integration. And actually, to be fair, that's what we've seen up until now. However, we know there's some fears over what could actually happen there. Could it become a closed shop? And do some integrations there in name only, but perhaps they don't integrate as well as we'd hope?
Well, I mean, look at Microsoft. Microsoft is happy to sell Office for the Apple, but in terms of integration, I mean, those are two machines that still have trouble talking to each other today. So what I wonder about is, they all have roadmaps, and the roadmap must start with separate products when you begin the merger. But 2 years, 3 years, 5 years down the road, you've gone three or four generations of software development. Are you still completely open, or have you got so much internal stuff that it just works better with its own brand name than it does with other stuff?
These things definitely need to be integrated. Like, I've recently gone through an exercise. I showed Richard this. I have a map of the 30 or 40 tools I use in my business. And I recently kicked out five of them because they did not, whether they were integrated by the vendors themselves or whether through an API, if the tools are not talking to each other 100%, this is one of the biggest challenges that any business faces today.
Hmm.
You have tools, they're doing things off in their own worlds, and you're not getting the efficiency out of them speaking to each other. And I think that what Carl's saying is definitely going to happen. If you have a tool set inside your company that you're developing, you're going to have to develop those things to talk to each other
right.
better.
Well, the other piece is, a lot of these tools used to be that you literally, and I know you remember the days, used to have to buy a server, put your RMM tool on there with the SQL and the licenses, and it couldn't be virtualized. And next to it is the server that's got your PSA with its SQL and its licenses, and it can't be virtualized. And now a lot of that stuff is in the cloud. So you've got this combination of stuff on site, stuff in the cloud, client stuff on site, client stuff in the cloud, and all these tools have to keep evolving and evolving and evolving. And, you know, in the meantime, we're like, can I just have one thing that works the same for a day or two?
Yeah, I mean, you're still at the coalface here, Josh. You run an MSP, you're still doing it. What impact does it have on your operations day to day? And how rapidly the tools change as well. So when we talk about API and we talk about integration, I know MSPs get incredibly frustrated, as do the vendors, that one day something could be working and talking to one another, the next day it won't. How does it affect you?
Well, you know what's interesting? I use a tool. It used to be called Sooner. It's a sync tool. It was originally, it was even used by like Verizon for the client that was syncing data on their flip phones. Like, it's been around forever. Sooner got bought by Autotask 3 years ago. To this day, it doesn't integrate with ConnectWise. I've had to stop using that tool because it was bought by Autotask, essentially stopped being what it originally was. And I just was looking yesterday in the tool, and it still only integrates with Autotask for years, right? So on the one hand, there's these huge frustrations. A big vendor supported by venture capital buys a tool, maybe like a niche tool that we used and loved. And then it ceases development outside of their ecosystem, like we're talking about. On the flip side, I am a huge user of Continuum. And the more things we can throw to Continuum, the happier I am. I mean, I went through a 6-month process recently of evaluating 30 backup products, thinking that I could do it better, thinking that I could build my own thing. It's going to work better. And I actually went back and said, you know what? This thing costs a little more. But the fact that it's in the same portal, supported by the same teams, in the same ticketing system, and it's all already integrated is huge for us as a small MSP. Mm. So we can really see both sides of it, right? We lose some functionality, but if you get into an ecosystem that works good enough, well enough for you, it's great.
Well, so this is totally changing the subject, but what happens when you decide that you want to merge your company with another MSP?
Oh, wow.
Do you only look at people who have the same tool sets, right? Because you can't just buy the client list. You got to buy processes and procedures.
So some of my closest colleagues that I do integrate with in the industry were actually building processes together and using similar tools. Beyond that, can I tell you the answer to that question? Check with me in a couple of years.
It's interesting. I was speaking to, it's actually a tool based out of here in Boston, a company called Crushbank. I don't know if you've come across these guys. No. Fantastic product. And it basically, do you remember IBM Watson? And you remember Watson, the supercomputer it took on Jeopardy, US TV show, and got involved there and ended up winning. Anyway, I didn't realize this, but Watson has got an API that companies can hook into to use this app. Anyway, Crushbank, what it does, it allows engineers within an IT business to do a search. Crushbank will use the Watson API to go out to the open internet, try and find information. And Josh has got his mouth open. Listeners, you can't see this. So it goes out to the internet. But what it also does is go through the internal help desk tickets and pull information from there. So this is the equivalent of asking, say, you know, your colleague, what do we do about this client? And then is there any special peculiarities or quirks of that client? The reason I mention it, apart from it being out of Boston, is if you've got one MSP that uses ConnectWise, another that uses Autotask, the MO is typically, once you've merged, you choose one tool and then you lose all the information in the other tool.
Right.
Yeah, it just goes. What Crushbank can do is pull all that information in and then say, fine, close off Autotask, close off ConnectWise, and we will retain that historical information in there. So great tool. And it brings up a thought to me. Is there a space in the market now for tools that we used to call the middleware that sort of sit there and enable you to pull the information out of these disparate systems? You know, with all these mergers, acquisitions, changes going on, is there a space in the market for these type of tools that can just pull all this information into a place as a reservoir that can just be used by any application?
There is, but you know, what's interesting is I think about how much of that data falls under privacy laws and all this other stuff, as well as if I've got non-disclosures from this company and Josh has got non-disclosures from that company and we merge and we muck up our tools, am I legally in a quagmire here?
I actually ran into, I forgot the name, but just this week I ran into another tool. It's called like Migrate Help Desk or something very descriptive like that, which has drop-down menus, migrate me from Zendesk to ConnectWise. You brought up one version of a tool, I brought up another, and then Carl brought up the compliance issues. But I think whatever about what Carl's saying, they're out there.
And it's always going to be the whatever, whether it's middleware, it's kind of become peripheralware, right? If there's this gravitational center of the universe, that all these other little companies spinning on the outside, trying to make money off the big company, if they're lucky, they get bought. Mm. Right. And if not, then they stay on the outside of the ecosystem.
Mm. They're kind of lucky they get bought and shut down.
There's one point I want to make here, actually. When the days of the cloud or host environments first started, I remember the golden rule was, yeah, by all means, use cloud, use hosted platforms, as long as you've got a way to get your data out and easily migrate it across to another application. Actually, with the explosion of sort of cloud applications now, I think the majority of us forget about that, don't we? Because we become so reliant on the tools within our system that we don't think, what would happen if the rug got pulled from under us? What would happen if this company got acquired and shut down? So perhaps we need to go back to square one and start looking at
So my migration. Entire cloud, you know, formula that I have pushed for many years involves backing up your data back down to a local device. The data lives in the cloud, but if I decide to switch from one cloud to another, from one PSA system to another, I've got a copy of the raw data on a machine in my office or my client's office so that I can make those changes if I choose to. And it's in some ways, it's almost like the basics of backup. At some point, you have to be able to put your hands on it, right?
So the challenge with what you're saying is this, like for our clients, anyone who's like, let's say they live all in Dropbox, we're going to give them a NAS. That Dropbox is going to back up. It's always going to be on site. And I've been doing that. Maybe I even learned it from Carl. Who knows? But I've been doing that forever. But the challenge is, let's say my business can't run without IT Glue. Now, IT Glue will let us manually download a PDF export of our clients, not automatically. But can you back up the database? No. Can you replicate that server? No. There's more and more tools where we can back up our files. But some of this stuff, you just can't back it up at all. And IT Glue has basically said, we're never going to offer that. Don't ask. And if there's one tool that I would be screwed without tomorrow, if IT Glue shut down, I mean, the industry would, it's like, it would be bad. And so what you're saying is really critical.
Yeah. And I think we've sort of drifted away from that, haven't we? The idea, you know, it's unlikely to happen. It's unlikely these businesses are to, you know, to pull the rug or to close down or whatever. But it's not impossible. And certainly we've seen when the Autotask and Datto merger went through, some nervous people there. Other people are excited by the possibilities of what can happen. But fundamentally, some people are nervous and saying, I've built my business on the back of this.
Right.
What's going to happen? Carl, you and I remember the days of Microsoft's small business server and building a business off the back of that. And then Microsoft did the unthinkable and pulled that product out there. So
to be fair, I think there was a 5-year lead up to them pulling the plug. I'm still shocked that anybody was surprised that that happened. But what's interesting is when you think about all of these things where you say, well, I've got my entire business on that and I'd be out of business if that didn't exist. And there's so many people who say, oh, I don't want to sell the cloud because what if the internet goes down? You're like, wait a minute, you got all your stuff in this tool? Like, if that tool goes away and you don't have a backup and you can't get a backup and you are out of business, that seems to me that's far worse than having the cloud go down for a day.
Yeah, far worse. Absolutely. So let's finish the episode on a high. You know? What are you looking forward to at the remainder of this conference? Josh, what are you excited about?
I'm excited about new feature announcements coming. There's a couple things that I know about that are really going to change the way that we work. So I'm pretty excited about that.
You can tell us. It's just between the three of us.
I mean, I'll say the big thing that I do know is coming is that by the time that this airs, IT Glue as a documentation system is going to integrate so that the Continuum, NOC, and help desk engineers can read the documentation that we've worked so hard to build. And it's just been something that's been badly needed for a couple years. And I was on the help desk advisory council at Continuum, and 18 months ago we just said, you have to do this.
Yeah.
And so this for us is like the feature. So I'm going to go with that.
Cool.
Boy, that makes me want to start another half hour conversation. But I'd say what I'm excited about is to see the products in the vendor hall that I haven't looked at before, because at these bigger shows, there's always new stuff that just literally season after season, you're like, oh my gosh, I never thought of that. And then somebody else has already figured it out and they figured out a way that you can help your clients make more money or you can make more money on it.
Yeah, sounds good. And as for me, it's nothing to do with managed services, everything to do with the fact it's my birthday today. And so I want to spend tonight going out with some of my favorite friends within the MSP industry and having a good time. So can you help me with that?
Let's do it. It's my birthday tomorrow.
Oh, well, it's all happening.
And I would sing happy birthday to both of you, except I don't want to.
Yeah. And I think the listeners would echo that.
Exactly. Survey says no.
That was Josh. That was Carl. I'm Richard Tubb. That's what's going on from Navigate by Continuum. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next time.
You're listening to Frankly MSP.
You'll find links to the resources Carl, Richard, and Josh discuss in today's show notes at avic.com/franklymsp/028. Now we come to my interview with Rayanne Buccianico, owner and operator of ABC Solutions in Florida. We discuss the number one small business killer and how to make sure it doesn't get you, when it's time to insource or outsource your bookkeeping, and some nifty niche tools that integrate into your MSP tech stack to help automate your accounts receivable and payable. Hi, Rayanne. Welcome to Frankly MSP.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for having me here today.
So today we're going to be talking about keeping your financial house in order as an MSP. And I feel like finances are one of those things that can quickly overwhelm a small business owner, just sort of keeping up with it all, right? So you're focused on selling and delivering your IT services and then, oh yeah, invoicing, collecting receivables, payroll, taxes, all this stuff. So what are the most common mistakes that you see MSPs making around finances?
All of that is so true, especially for the smaller companies. They really do struggle sometimes. But one of the struggles that many MSPs have is understanding their profits at the service level. So you think, if I pay $5 for a product, for instance, and I sell it for $12, I'm making a pretty decent profit. That's almost 60% profit, which is great. Just as long as there's no other cost associated with that sale. No time, no service, no additional subscription. In the MSP world, everything comes with a subscription and additional costs. So take a fully managed customer, for instance, and think about the different types of services you might offer them. Email hosting, spam filtering, antivirus patch management, so on and so forth. When these items are bundled together, it's not as easy as marking up one product to see the profit on that customer and the overall contract. So at the end of the contract period, when it's time to renew, how do you know if your contract is priced appropriately? There are multiple ways that people price their contracts, right? So there's the per device pricing, there's the per user, there's the time-based, and the ever-present wild guess. For the MSP who wants to grow and understand their financials, they need a better way to measure the actual cost of each contract and service so that you can set the pricing accordingly.
So how do you do that? How do you accurately measure your costs so that you are setting your prices accurately?
So there's a number of ways to do that. And then the very first thing is you have to start paying closer attention to your accounting system. All of the answers are in there if you know where to look. And many times I might meet with an MSP and take a look at their accounting system, and they have like two numbers for sales and one number for COGS. And that's not telling them anything. What you really want to do is start to break out the different types of income and match up the COGS to that income so that you can really get a feel for which services are making you money and which services you're not getting the desired profit, so that you can adjust your prices accordingly. There's one other area is making sure that you're looking at your vendor bills and matching them up to the contracts so that when the vendor pricing changes, your contract price will have to change at the end of that period.
Let's dig in a little more into the chart of accounts and how you might set up your accounting system to keep track of those things that you just talked about.
The first thing that you want to do is begin by making a list of the major services you provide, and I like to call them buckets. They might include recurring services, non-recurring services, which is where your break, fix, and time and materials and projects are going to land in, and then your product sales, plus your VoIP sales, hosted offerings, and even co-location solutions. So determine which main buckets you want information on. And each MSP is going to have a different list. Some peer organizations require everyone to use the same chart of accounts. And sometimes I think that's a little short-sighted and too limiting, because this needs to make sense to the business owner. Not your accountant, not a group of people who have businesses that look nothing like yours. Now, if you're in a peer group and can fit into that chart of accounts comfortably, you're going to get a lot out of it. I certainly don't want to knock peer groups. I think they are great and do wonderful things to help MSPs build a better business. Once you have those revenue buckets built, then you can start to place smaller groups in them. For instance, your non-recurring revenue bucket might have sub-accounts, like I said, for projects and time and materials and commissions. And your product sales might have sub-accounts for hardware, software, licensing, and warranties. Careful, though, that licensing might also fit into the account for Office 365, which might land in your recurring revenue bucket. So you have to stop and think really carefully about what you're doing and how you want to view that information. Because when it gets into that revenue bucket, it needs to get into that same corresponding COGS bucket. And that's how you're going to get your service level metrics, and it will be right in front of you every month so that you can't miss it.
And COGS, just to clarify, that's cost of goods and services, right?
Cost of goods sold and services. Yes, the cost of goods sold or the cost of services. And yes, you anything that is directly related to making money that you want to put into that COGS section. So, you know, if you buy a piece of hardware, that's a cost of goods sold. But if you buy a remote monitoring software or subscription, and you are offering that remote monitoring as a service for sale, you want to make sure that that RMM cost offsets the RMM income.
One thing that many MSPs seem to struggle with, and I think this is common to small businesses, is cash flow challenges. So you can actually be a very successful company, meaning making lots of sales, and still go out of business if you're not managing that cash flow properly. So does the things that you're talking about here help with managing cash flow as well?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a direct tie-in, because having a clean set of books is critical to managing your cash flow. And the P&L accounts that we just discussed is great for telling you how much you made or spent in the past, but it's not going to help you predict the future. So cash flow management is the number one business killer. I have built spreadsheets to help manage cash, and I've used the built-in cash flow projector, many tools that come with the QuickBooks desktop. Some accounting systems actually have cash flow management projection built right in. If you pay attention to your business, you know exactly how much is coming in, how much is going out, and when that needs to happen. Let me just give you an example. Or for instance, you prepare an invoice to a customer. It's due in 10 days. Is this customer a regular payer, or will you get the money in 30 days instead of 10? So you can run a report from your accounting system based on the accounts receivable and determine, based on the due date of the invoices, when you can reasonably expect that money to arrive. Then on your spreadsheet, total them up and put that income in the weeks that you expect to receive the money. Then next, you're going to run a report for accounts payable and watch the due dates of each bill. And you put those into the appropriate column for the week that they're due. So then you can clearly see how much money we start with, how much we're expecting to come in this week, next week, and the following week, and how much is due to go out, what bills are due to be paid in that week, and how much money you're going to have left. It's a simple process if you can build it into your day-to-day procedures so that you know exactly how much money you can expect to have 3 weeks from now when it's time to run the next payroll. Because payroll taxes, and the credit card bills, those are the three big cash flow inhibitors. So you've got to make sure that your people are paid, and you have to make sure your vendors are paid. And you need to know when that money's coming in order to be able to handle it.
I can see this, you know, this administration with projecting cash flow, managing all of the receipts that are coming in, doing the bookkeeping, that can get fairly time consuming as your business grows. When does it make sense to hire someone on your team to do this stuff for you? Or does the CEO do it? Do you outsource to someone? What are some guidelines around that?
My rule of thumb is that if a bank statement comes in or a credit card statement comes in and I have not yet handled the previous months, then I'm too busy to do it. And if I'm more than a month behind in my accounting and bookkeeping, I need to find somebody who can do this on a regular basis. If you have an admin person in your office that can easily move into that position, great. I just want to caution you that you cannot squeeze every foot into every shoe. So if that person is really great at dispatch and office management and has never taken an accounting or bookkeeping course in his or her life, you may not want to try and squeeze them into the position, because if they don't understand what they're doing or the results that will come from it, you can get very unexpected results that will have far-reaching consequences. So sometimes it's not always best just to give it to somebody in-house. Sometimes it is better to outsource it to a company that does this for many other companies, other MSPs, all day long.
Any other advice for MSPs who are looking to get their financial house in good order?
Number one, you want to make sure that you're using an accounting system that works for you. QuickBooks is one of the biggest sellers out there, but it's not for everybody. So don't feel compelled to jump into an accounting system that you're not comfortable with. Also, there are a lot of automation tools, especially with QuickBooks, QuickBooks Online, Xero. There's a lot of ways that you can automate many of these procedures to move the human factor out of the way. I highly encourage using technology. We're all technologically savvy in this channel. Use the technology that's available and automate as much of this process as you can, so that you can spend less time working on the books and more time using the numbers that the books are giving you.
What about integrating your accounting and bookkeeping into your MSP tool stack? So, you know, there's quoting tools like QuoteWorks, and ConnectWise has a quoting module. How do those applications like QuickBooks fit into that picture?
We do a lot of that type of work with ConnectWise and Autotask and QuoteWorks even. So you can create the quote in QuoteWorks, you can push the quote into your Autotask or your ConnectWise, or you can push it straight to your QuickBooks to handle the purchasing and the payment to the vendors, as well as the invoicing to the customers. So there's a lot of automation and integration tools out there. IT Glue does not necessarily work with QuickBooks, but it does integrate with all of the other tools out there. So as many of those automation tools that can automatically feed this information between the different systems, QuickBooks is definitely very easy to work with these days. Autotask has an integration with it. ConnectWise uses a third-party integrator. I think it's called, there's one called Mobius, and there's one called YSync. QuoteWorks has a direct connection. Connect Booster helps automate cash flow. There's a lot of tools out there, and I absolutely recommend using as many of them as possible to keep from having to duplicate efforts.
What does a tool like Connect Booster do?
Connect Booster pulls the invoices out of your ConnectWise or Autotask and sends the invoice to the customer and can even automatically run ACH and credit card payments. And then it sends the paid invoice to your QuickBooks Online and records the receipts in there. So it keeps your accounts receivable accurate in QuickBooks while automating the process from your PSA.
So you would have PSA and then Connect Booster connected to QuickBooks.
Correct.
What's the advantage of using a Connect Booster or something similar in that middle there versus integrating QuickBooks directly into, say, ConnectWise?
ConnectWise is still going to connect directly to your QuickBooks, but Connect Booster is going to pick up that invoice, send the invoice to the customer, and if you have authorization to be able to run a credit card or ACH automatically, Connect Booster will make that automatic payment for you, mark the invoices paid in your QuickBooks, and handle your accounts receivable without any intervention from you or any human. And I just want to say that Connect Booster is not the only game in town for this, because there's another system out there. It's called Bill.com. So you create your invoice in Autotask, ConnectWise, PSA, whichever, and you push it over into your QuickBooks Online, then you can have Bill.com connected to your QuickBooks. Bill.com doesn't connect directly to the PSA, but it connects to QuickBooks. And then it can also have its own portal, send out the invoices to the customer, and automatically run ACH or credit card payments. So there are other options to just using one vendor. So please look at all of the options available, because there are many of them.
That's really interesting. Parting piece of advice for MSPs about finances.
My parting piece of advice is stop every month at the end of every month, look at your financial reports. And if you're just glancing over at the total revenue and then the net profit and putting it aside, you're not spending enough time on your business. Because the more you pay attention to your finances, the better you're going to get at it. And it may not be second nature today, but it will become second nature. So take the time, put an hour aside every month, and pay attention to your books.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Rayanne.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it, Jennifer.
That was Rayanne Guccianico of ABC Solutions and Sell My MSP. If you'd like to know more, Rayanne frequently offers training courses in various aspects of financial management for MSPs, and her website has a bunch of great resources for American MSPs, like a calendar of tax due dates. So I'll put the link for those things and other ways to get in touch with Rayanne in today's show notes at avic.com/franklymsp/028. And that's a wrap. Remember to leave your Frankly MSP review on iTunes, then send an email to franklymsp@avic.com with your iTunes handle to snag Frankly MSP t-shirt and stickers. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avic Networks, the most efficient and profitable way to manage your clients' networks.